Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back to another episode of Simp It After Dark, everyone. This is your host, Ashley Mendoza. And today I got some special guests. It's my girls from Nightshade Collective.
April Mendoza.
And Alexa Morales. I'm so excited to have them here today. It's so nice having someone to conversate with. And we got a really exciting thing today. I'm going to bring you some music as always, because Simpin' After Dark is all about R&B specifically most of the time. And, you know, just getting in your feelings, talking relationships, feelings, hookup culture, society, all that fucking bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
But we're also talking movies today, because at Nightshade Collective...
We had to do it.
Yeah, we had to. I'm bringing my girls from Nightshade. We obviously got to talk movies. Yeah, so go check out Nightshade on Instagram, Nightshade Collective.
Yes, check out our website as well.
We got Nightshade some sick beanies dropping.
Oh, yeah, yes. We got some cool stuff coming soon, yes. Guys.
Keep an eye out. Keep an eye out. And once again, we are at Wild 7 Studios in downtown Los Angeles. Shout out to them for always hosting Simpin' After Dark.
Absolutely.
I'm excited. What movie are we talking today, you guys?
I'm super excited about this episode. Malcolm and Mary.
Yeah,
Marie.
Like, Marie. Oh, thank you for the correction. Marie. Mary ass bitch.
Mary. Who's Mary?
I've been saying Mary this whole time and no one's corrected me.
Are you serious?
God damn it.
That's not even how you spell Mary.
You're right. Whatever. Who pronounces anything right on this podcast, first
Nobody.
Of all?
Nobody, that's right. I'm glad.
I am no not judgment here.
Say anything, please. I am like the queen of grammatical errors, everything.
It's just grammatical? No, I'm
grammatical.
Kidding.
Grammatical?
That's what you said. I know, I'm joking.
Bitch. We're not here to judge. We're here
kidding.
To fucking simp, okay? Yes. And you bet we're going to simp. I hope you guys have watched Malcolm and Marie by now, because I posted about it on my story about a week ago. I think it just first dropped on Netflix. So if you haven't, spoiler alerts, and either go watch that, or if you don't want to go through that excruciating hour 45 of just like pure anxiety and anger and all that shit, just listen to this,
because we're about to get the fuck into it. Underline bold and italics and capital.
Watch it with your partner.
Or don't.
Don't do that.
Or don't.
I'm just kidding. I got a Zendaya tweeted yesterday. By the way, today is the day after Valentine's Day. By the time you guys hear this, it'll be like a week later. Yeah. But she tweeted on Valentine's Day. She said, "Happy Valentine's Day from Marie," in parentheses, "If you are watching our movie tonight with your significant other, ... we're sorry, LOL."
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Yeah. I've seen several people say it's not a good idea.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Glad I'm single on this Valentine's Day, because I watched that solo and I had a lot of thoughts and anger and a lot of just like questions, you know, that
a lot. Yeah. I just raised, watched it this morning. When did you watch it?
I watched it last night.
Okay. You watched it last night too. Yeah. So I think we've all been waiting to hop on here and talk about it.
Or like save it for the podcast.
Yeah. Definitely got to save it for the podcast. But also we are doing, like I said, we're always going to talk music on Simpin' After Dark. So we got an artist. Her name is Ravina. And her song that we're going to be talking about is If Only. It was on her EP called Shanti. I don't know how to say it. It's like a Sanskrit word. It means actually peace, rest, calmness, tranquility, or bliss. So if you've ever done like yoga, I guess it's like part of like those things that you say, you know? So that's what her album about, I think, is like about just like finding peace and like leaving a relationship that's not good for her. Specifically, this song on Genius Lyrics, it says that it is about getting out of an abusive relationship. So the feelings of healing and getting through that. So this song actually very like perfectly correlates with Malcolm and Marie. So.
Sure does.
Yeah. Yes. We'll go ahead and play a clip for you. Only her voice is beautiful. Have you guys listened to her music before? Are you familiar with Ravina?
Not I.
Well, just that one song, Temptation, that I told you. But
yes. Yeah. So actually, this song is old. I think it's actually from 2017, but it was the first song I ever heard of her, and I'm like obsessed with it. And like, I feel like that's such a dilemma for me on Simpin' After Dark. Usually, like, I just get hooked on older songs of artists, and of course, I want to like put people onto their newer music, but when you, I feel like usually when you discover an artist, the first song, it just like sticks with you, and that's the one that you just like love. It probably is just a nostalgic type of thing, but I love this song, and I guess so we can tie it together more, maybe April, if you want to explain your take on Malcolm and Marie and what it's about.
Yeah, I think we probably have a very similar take. Yeah, just from a first glance, it's obviously about this dichotomy of, you know, and similarity, I guess, between love and hate, and just like the very thin line between the two. You know, it goes into the actor and director dilemma of this relationship that's just so toxic, and just,
she's an actor.
Yeah. And she has this sort of need and sort of neediness to herself and to her persona. And Malcolm is this director who has this ego problem. And he's, I would say he's like a narcissist.
Oh, absolutely. I would say so. Absolutely.
The whole time, you know, it's just about these, this couple who is trying to hurt each other, but at the same time trying to love each other. And it's just like, how do you justify that kind of toxic behavior? You know? Yeah. And so like, we can get into like the nitty gritty of the film, but like, at first glance, I think that's kind of the main theme.
So the night, it's like his, it's his big night, or it's like the debut, like he had his like,
yeah. So he premiered his movie.
Premiere.
And so the premise essentially is that he forgets to thank her, his girlfriend, Marie.
His acceptance speech. You know, we've all seen it at awards shows.
Well, I don't think it was an acceptance speech. It was his premiere, I think. But you know, when directors get out there and they're like, thank you so much, everyone, for watching my movie. I just want to thank, you know, so-and-so for helping me make this thing possible. And like, as a filmmaker, like, you know, I completely get, you know, that you might forget to thank someone out there when, you know, the lights are on. Maybe you, somebody, you're nervous.
But your partner.
Yes. Out of all the people you could forget.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of, you know, he goes on to think, she jokes, you thank your gaffers and your grips and, you know, your actors and all these fictional characters. You know, your fictional characters got more respect than your girlfriend, essentially. Yeah. And I was like, oh, shit, you know, because I don't know. I can relate. I've sort of been in a situation very similar to that. And it's just like, wow, you know, because making a movie, you most directors kind of want to take credit for it, but you have to thank everybody involved because it's such a collaborative effort. And like anybody that says like, oh, that's my movie, like is completely full of shit.
Something specifically that Marie says in the movie, she's like, you want it to be just all you so bad, but like,
you have
the wrong idea of what it takes to.
And it gets to their head because everybody thinks and respects and praises Malcolm because he's such a genius, you know, but the story was sort of inspired by everybody around him, all the women he's dated and everyone around him, except for himself. He's stealing people's souls and putting it into his movie and getting credit.
Which wouldn't be a problem because, like, you know, that's what filmmakers do, storytellers do. It's like, if you, I mean, you should write from experience. Sometimes it's your experience, like, accessing someone's, like, tragedy. Yeah. Yeah. But the fact that like you don't even like give a credit, that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah, and not even a physical like credit on screen. It's just
like a thank you, a simple thank you. I think that's what most people got out of the movie.
Yeah,
was a Marie just wanted a thank you at the end of the day,
some appreciation. Yeah. You know,
yeah,
some just want to be appreciated.
Like, yeah, literally. So at the beginning of the movie, it pretty much starts, you know, you see this beautiful house and like, you know, Malcolm and Marie walk in, and right off the bat, you can tell that Marie is just pissed. She's had a horrible night. And so we know shit's about to go down.
And then he's on the opposite. He did something wrong.
He's being so oblivious about it. Like, she looks pissed and he's just like.
First of all, he was so annoying.
Nice. How did you know, right? Just like, how did you know? Like, instantly, you just know. What the fuck? What did he do?
What did he do? She's clearly pissed.
Yeah. Like, if it was like truly something to celebrate, if she would have felt happy and thanked and appreciated, that night would have gone completely just like different. Just 180. Absolutely. She would have been celebrating being fucking annoying, like popping champagne with him.
For sure.
And that's so crazy. Because I think we all took notes on the movie because I was like, y'all, we need to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us, like, the first thing, just chronological order, the first thing was he forgot to thank her.
We fucked up.
That's where it started. Mm-hmm. And I think that is just the most, like, symbolic thing, or just, like, most, like, perfect example of how a lot of issues are. Like, they blow up and become some big-ass thing when it stemmed from the most tiniest thing that can seem insignificant.
It could have
been so it's always about the little things that add up and make somebody explode.
Mm-hmm.
You can only take so much.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I will say that beautiful performances, by the way, specifically by Zendaya. I think she's phenomenal. And I think she really stole the movie.
She's so good.
And so Malcolm was played by John David Washington, right? Is his name? Denzel's Washington's son, right? So he was in Tenet and, you know, up and coming. Actor, really great, but I still do think that Zendaya was the star of the movie, and I think
100%
personally, like, one of my biggest problems with the movie was that she didn't have enough screen time.
You think so?
Yeah,
yeah.
Definitely. I think she deserves was a it.
And like she's
very
actually,
passive
like,
character,
she's
and I think,
credited first.
And I think like, she was a producer on it.
Yeah,
and obviously, like she's the biggest name on this movie.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you know it had to do with the arc and everything, and like just the.
Or do you think
story,
maybe it was like intentional to like make you feel more upset?
Yeah, probably. But I still think that if it would have been a little bit more through her lens, but then it would have been a completely different movie. Yeah. And again, who am I to say? I'm not trying to criticize the movie. I don't really want to get into like criticizing the movie because the movie itself is about critics and
the shit will be meta. The shit will be so meta.
It's already so meta because, you know, he goes on to talk about how, you know, he's already anticipating that the critics aren't going to like his movie or what they're going to say. And it's just like, it's just so much. I personally wasn't fond of like the whole, like, you know, just being a filmmaker talking about filmmaking. And I get that that's very personal to somebody, but like not my favorite part of the movie, I would say. I think the relationship aspect of it, it was the most like heart was the biggest like heart of the film.
I think it was maybe just like a very like a niche thing to do that people could still relate to and understand, even if they aren't in the industry.
It is.
It wasn't just, in a way that was like, oh, like it's like all this jargon. Like, I think it's probably
still
accessible.
I guess it just gets very philosophical at some points and it just kind of gets really into like the dialogue of just like, it's just a back and forth battle conversation.
And that's what I liked. But I honestly thought that the screen time was distributedly perfect.
You think so?
I think so.
I think for the movie it was.
It was for the movie.
Yeah.
And I think just not like it makes you not want to choose a side. Like it shows them, you know, both.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm trying to say. But you guys understand.
You know for sure.
Right? We're just like
you're empathizing with both
sides because they're both like you said earlier, they're wrong, but it's just like they're also trying to prove like their love to each other.
That's true.
You know, so it's I don't know. I couldn't really choose a side.
But see, for me, like, I don't think that Malcolm was a very likable character.
Me either.
Yeah, honestly.
I, like, straight up, I was like.
I think he was screaming way too much.
It's going to be a Malcolm bash fest up in here tonight.
Sure. But do you think that's because we're women? And, like, they even kind of go into that whole kind of philosophy in the movie.
The whole identity politics of everything.
Well, yeah, they're talking
about
that.
Which is something funny. It's something that me and Alexa were just talking about in the car the other day. I was like, dude, like. It's so hard to watch something with your man. And like, I was like, I don't know if you could relate.
Absolutely. I can relate. Yes.
I was like, every time it's about a couple, I feel like I'm the fucking girl and my man is the guy. And if the dude does something, like, I'll just look over my man like,
you automatically
fucking piece of shit.
Yep. Absolutely.
I guess you so put mad. Yourself
in those shoes. Right okay, away.
That's a little crazy.
We're crazy.
No,
I guess.
I mean, definitely. So like everyone.
So you're projecting.
Listeners. Yes, April is the more sane one. Me and Alexa definitely lean more on like the crazy side, but at the same time, we just love hard and we have very deep feelings and we do project. We project.
It's a Virgo Leo combination.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's like
Aries
main character syndrome mixed with like just thinking too hard about things.
Overanalyzing everything when it's not even that deep. Like it's deep. Mm-hmm. For
us. But the thing is like those feelings are real and they need to be acknowledged. And I think that's like a big thing in like the movie was about her feelings and him invalidating her most of the time.
Oh, definitely.
And him being emotionally abusive, which ties right back to the song If Only by Ravina. So we can hop into those lyrics. Yes. Let's see. So she starts off. When I was younger and I didn't know better, living with these wolves hurting for pleasure, some kind of angel took me out of the jungle from your blue nights into sunlight.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So talking about wolves and hurting for pleasure just reminds me of the movie about how he kind of like tells her, like, she's like, you know, I'm a masochist. And he's like, you love this shit. Like, you love when I fucking degrade you and like treat you this way.
But they hurt each other for pleasure. Exactly. Which ties back into the theme of the movie.
It's so fucked up. It definitely is like a masochistic fucking weird thing going on, but it's not healthy.
Okay.
It's not.
And like,
no, of course not.
It's not, but it kind of reminds me of another, I guess kind of spoiler alert. If anyone has seen Big Little Lies with Nicole Kidman's character and her husband.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How like he's actually like physically abusive, but like it always turns into sex.
Yeah.
And like, just because it like, it turns them both on and like they end up fucking and it's hot. It doesn't mean it's okay or that it's healthy.
Oh, no.
So true.
So it's just like a sick, twisted thing.
Yeah.
So I don't
know. Sex, even in marriage, has to be consensual. Like,
Yeah, exactly. And that's like a whole fucking thing that like, oh, no, grosses me out.
I know.
So she talks about like when she was younger. So definitely it's like her coming to terms with like something that was fucked up that she's like, okay, so now she had some angels that took her out of this from the blue nights into sunlight. So she's getting out of this. It's so cute. Like, I love her fucking lyrics. Pre-chorus, she says, I sleep better at night without you around. Sometimes I still awake from you calling out. Is
Oh, that's trauma. Hits. That sounds like it traumatizing.
It does sound like trauma, yeah. Right? Like sometimes I still awake from you calling out.
That must have been a really traumatizing relationship.
But she's
whatever
sleeping
it was.
Better, right? Yeah. So it's like, okay, I'm at peace now, yeah. But I'm still like from time to time, I like jerk awake.
That PTSD.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Ooh, that Which, shit is sad.
Do you think it's interesting that she's saying that she's finding peace without him when you think that you're more whole with someone else, right?
That's what supposedly they say. Yeah.
So
that's
it's
what
like
they say,
but you're actually a whole piece by yourself, you mm-hmm. know, and you just can't allow other people to break you into other pieces.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, I don't know. It's very poetic.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. I love her. By the way, she's a Libra for all my astrology lovers. Yes. And if you like go check out her whole like aesthetic, like
she's 100%.
Very Libra.
She's a Libra. So mm-hmm. little quick side note for the astro lovers. Then we get into the chorus. She says, "It's too late to hold me, too late to call me. Two, you're saying, if only I could get over you. Too late to know me, I'm going without you. You're saying, if only." So, like, fool's trying to get her back, obviously. Mm-hmm. Or, girl, I'm not sure. I think she might be queer. But yeah, it's just her. And it reminds me kind of at the end of Malcolm and Marie, like, I thought she left at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what they want you to think.
I was like, yeah. Yes. But I was like, that's so strong and brave mm-hmm. of her. Like, that's crazy. Like, yeah. I don't, that would be too much of a happy ending.
Yeah.
And honestly, unrealistic. Cause yeah. I feel like,
oh, yeah.
Realistically, people don't fucking leave. Like, yeah. you like rationalize these yeah. behaviors and these fights and the disrespect yeah. and the fucking trauma that you put each other through. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
This song is like kind of like a little happy ending to it because it's literally yeah. about her getting out of the yeah. abusive relationship. So happy for her. Yes. Happy that she realized it's too late. And it kind of, it's like my first mm-hmm. episode of season 3, Still My Baby, how it's just sometimes you have to wait. So you get to a point where like you can't stay anymore. Like shit just got way too fucked up for you to stay. So like that's probably what happened here. Because other than that, I think people end up staying. Yeah. It's really hard.
Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. It's yeah. really hard. It's like the comfortability of it. It's the fear sometimes.
Fear of being alone. Like
you know, it's like the habits. It's so many
fear
things.
Of
it's
like they might try to hurt you even worse.
Or
like, you don't know.
In their case, I think it's like when you're sort of relying on each other in your own industry where it's like, I kind of
when
need
there's
you.
There's eyes on you.
Mm-hmm. There's eyes on you.
I think
exactly.
That definitely
you're
makes
in the
it more complicated.
Because
mm-hmm. it's not just you too. It's like, people are watching.
Yeah.
They know I went through you with this whole project.
Yeah. And like, you know, as an actor, you know, she's trying to prove to Malcolm how good of an actor she is.
Oh my God. That scene.
That scene is so Ooh. Good. Yeah. Oh. I thought she was for real. Like,
dude, me too.
It's like oh this crazy
God.
Bitch.
I was like, yeah. Oh my God. She is crazy this whole time.
I know. Yeah.
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 Yes. Authenticity.
So whoever has yeah. seen it, obviously that part where like she goes, he's trying to like make her feel like she's fucking crazy. Like he didn't need her for the script. She's like, nah, you based this shit on my life.
Yeah.
And like, we'll get into like what happens before that too. But like for this part, he's like, what is authenticity? Like mm-hmm. that's bullshit. Like mm-hmm. she's like, okay, whatever. Like rolls yeah. her eyes, walks away. He goes inside and she like comes back and she has like, she's holding a knife. And she like, her like that part reminded me of her character from Euphoria.
Yeah.
Rue.
The whole movie did.
Yeah, definitely. Like it's like Rue down the line or something. Mm-hmm. But like she's a ex drug addict, you know?
Yeah.
So she has a knife and she's like, you know, those antidepressants I was on, I'm not on them anymore. And I'm not doing okay. And you know what?
I
stole from your
friends.
Mom before. I fucked all your friends. Mm-hmm. And he's scared. Like,
yeah.
She's holding a knife.
And she's laughing even.
Yeah, she's like crazy. She's so, like, yeah. She's lost it. And I'm even like, the whole time, because I was rooting for her and she's trying
yeah.
to do this.
Yeah, I'm
like,
oh,
God
you
damn
bitch.
Damn it, bitch. Like, you were crazy. He was right this whole time. Mm-hmm. And then she drops the character and she's like, and that's what authenticity gets you.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like round of applause.
So she just
I literally was
straight
like,
up auditioned for
I
him.
Laughed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause See? He was like, you should have auditioned like blah, blah, blah.
And
yeah.
Another thing I want to get into. It's okay. So my thoughts were kind of like, was this entire film just like her audition? Like every, Ooh. Since she got home,
like
she was
really
that her
trying
audition?
To prove it.
Oh.
Like, fucking trying to prove it. But at this, okay, so getting into that,
mm-hmm.
he said, you should have auditioned when really, What did he say in the beginning? He was like, you quit. If you want it bad enough, like, you would have fucking, like, went after it, whatever. But it's like, this is your film. You wrote this. Like, you sent me the, you know, like, the drafts and everything
Yeah.
Like, you'd think that you'd reach out to me as your partner, like, hey, I have this, like, you know, like, this script. Like, I think you'd be fucking great for it, obviously, because it was written.
Yeah. Well, and supposedly, I feel like it was developed together, right?
Oh, my God, that fucking broke
my
heart.
She was, like, she said at some point, like, she said, we did this together, and at some point, it wasn't us together anymore.
Yeah.
And I, like, sitting in the audience tonight, like, started thinking to myself, like, when did I, like, allow myself to let go of, like, so much of this?
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, that shit tore me apart.
Dude, yeah.
That's heartbreaking. Damn, that's so sad. Because she was like, you know, like, you were able to turn all, like, my trauma and all the experiences of supposedly your people in your life who you drew from their life as trauma. And you made it something beautiful. And what hurts is I wasn't able to because I didn't even get a thank you, a credit, a shout out. Yeah. And like now it's like.
And now she can't even share that story. Yeah, that's her story.
It's shared already. And now she just feels like little.
Yeah. Like, so I have nothing. I have nothing.
Yeah. How would you guys feel if your boyfriend was like a director and he's like, you need to audition for me, but I'm making a movie about you. Like,
bro, that's rough. Because, of course, like, everyone's going to be like, you know, it's for the movie. You have to find the best actress.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where my mind will go at first. It's just like, oh, I want what's best for the movie. So, obviously, you need to, you know, go through this whole thing and choose the right one. But at the same time, it's like, that's my fucking character.
You're, like writing it about me. Who else is better to play me? Like, wouldn't that be the most authentic
thing
to do?
I'd be hurt. I'd definitely be hurt, but I don't think I'd have the balls to like.
Yeah. So I know they never really said in the film, but do you think that he cheated on her with the actress?
Yeah. Just because I assume the worst.
No, honestly. And with the way he was like,
what they imply.
Exactly. Yeah. At the tub scene.
He was saying fucked up shit.
He was saying some fucked up
shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into all that. We'll get into that.
So much to say.
Okay, verse 2, she said, I said I'd meet you off the freeway. You're lonely. You still don't understand. A woman is holy. Your fake apologies would work on the old me. I get into my car, leave you where you are. She's, she's like growth.
Wow.
She's, yes, dude.
She drives away. She leaves him.
I love that.
And like that is like the perfect like explanation of like how in the movie she's like, you are so needy, yet you just like act like I ain't shit. See you basically. And like that's, he hit her up because he's lonely because she finally breaks it up with him. And she's like being like the holy fucking empathetic woman that she is, goes and meets up with him and he gives her a fake ass apology. And she's like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I see right through it now. Please see right through fake apologies, people. Like,
that is so powerful. Oh my God.
Can you give me an example?
Oh, man.
Or give the audience an example of what those might sound like.
Baby, like, look, I am sorry if you feel that, like, I did that, but, but, you know, that's not what I meant. Or, like, you know what? Like, babe, you're crazy. I promise you, like, you are delusional. Like, that's not what the fuck I meant. You're too sensitive, okay? You're too sensitive. You read too much into things. That's invalidating.
I'm sorry you feel that. I'm sorry I made you feel that way.
That's, like, the number one. I'm sorry
you feel that way.
Number one. Yeah. Or if there is no sorry. Or if it's like, you know what? I'm sorry that I called you a bitch and told you to shut the fuck up. But you just pissed me off. If there's a but,
no, thank you.
Or pay attention for this one. I am so sorry, babe. It slipped my mind, guys. It'll come back.
What about like, I'm sorry, I don't want to fight with you tonight, et cetera, et cetera.
Push it off.
Yeah, like that's not fake tonight, too, because that's just gonna keep on, you know, coming up. Like, it's never going to get resolved. Right?
Oh, that's
the
worst. When shit doesn't get resolved, it just, like...
I mean, I'm guilty of avoiding conflict and, like, not
everyone wants to avoid it. It's ugly. Nobody wants to do that.
Yeah.
Like, if you can avoid it, like, avoid it, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like men usually will often do that. Men usually want to avoid, and women want to confront. You know, yeah. That's just how it is, and that's
definitely.
It's so,
yeah.
It's,
but
it's
I've also hard. I've been in the opposite scenario, I guess, where I have the male tendencies of avoiding, and then my ex was more of the crazy girlfriend figure or whatever.
No way.
Yeah, and it was weird, but like I just didn't want to deal with it. I was okay. Well, maybe this is where I can sort of empathize or whatever.
Maybe he was emotionally manipulative, though.
He was.
Okay, then. So you were avoiding it because he would always try to emotionally manipulate you.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, like, for sure. It was just a hot mess. It was, it was not a healthy relationship.
Which reminds me of probably your ex. when people are like, you know what? I'm so sorry. I'm just the fucking worst boyfriend ever. I'm such a piece of shit. Like, I don't deserve you. I'm the fucking worst.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's emotional manipulation. Because then what are you supposed to do?
Yep.
Be like, no, you're not, babe.
Yeah.
No, you're not. Exactly. I love you.
Yeah. See, I would never say that.
That's not an apology. That's, I would never say that to a guy. Fucking flip the script on you. Mm. Don't fall for that.
Yeah.
Please. Spread the word.
Yeah.
Tell all your friends.
Okay. What about when your boyfriend or girlfriend almost threatens, like, suicide?
Emotional manipulation.
Oh, hell. That's emotionally abusive. But at what point, though? Because what if that's actually how they're feeling?
Ooh, that is a rough.
See,
you know, because as the significant other, you want to be there for your partner always. And if you feel like they actually feel that way,
I guess if they're using if they did something horribly fucked up to you and they're using it in a way to make you come back when you're trying to leave because you don't deserve to be in that situation, that's emotionally manipulative. I think. If they're just really depressed and suicidal in general and like something happens and they're like, going through it and they bring it up.
No, what if
that's different?
What if you're sort of like, I'm going to go out to a party tonight and I'll be back. I'm going to hang out with you like in a few hours. Like, you know, I'll be back. And they sort of threaten this sort of like suicidal tendency on you.
That's okay. Emotionally manipulative and abusive.
So I don't know, but I don't know if this is like too taboo, but... It's, do you think someone that really has those tendencies, like they're depressed, they're really going to throw something like that out there?
That's what I was thinking too.
You know, where it's just
I think if they're going to do it, they're going to like do it in secret.
They don't do
or it. Or like supposedly when like, and like completely I'm going to throw a trigger warning on this.
Yeah.
But like when people are like suicidal like that, what you hear all the time is that usually before they go and like say their goodbyes to people and start giving their stuff away, they want to leave on a good note with people, I think.
Yeah.
And like it's really fucked up. That's why
you're saying the majority of people that
usually people that are actually suicidal that are like they have a plan and they're like planning on going through with it.
Yeah.
They usually will like go and like hit up people like their friends and be like, I just want to let you know, like, I really love you and I value this friendship. They want to leave on a good note.
Yeah.
Or they'll be like, I want you to have this one thing. It means a lot to me. Or like,
true.
Whatever. It's usually I think that's maybe how you could tell the difference if someone's only bringing it up because like you're in a fight and it's not going their way.
They're trying to control like where you're going or what you're doing
because
with your life.
They know that you're empathetic and that you're a nice person and that you're gonna, instead of breaking up with them because they deserve to be broken up with because they did something fucked up, they're gonna manipulate you to stay
and they'll use anything.
It's a tactic. Don't like it's definitely touchy but it's abusive as fuck. Mm-hmm. It's so abusive because most people are empathetic.
So
okay, as the crazier two out of the three.
Yes.
Would you say that you deal with emotional, like in your past, more emotional manipulation or you being the more emotionally manipulative person if you're aware of your own
I'm very aware and I can admit that I can be emotionally manipulative. I wouldn't say abusive like that. Like, no, I would never do that.
I'm a Cancer moon. Yes, I can be emotionally manipulative. I'm going to blame it on my Cancer moon. Yes, I can. But, you know, we're aware of it.
Yeah.
We're aware of it. And I think
Randy, baby, I love you.
We all, you know, we have great communication. And I think what matters is that you're aware of it and you get through it, you grow from it, you learn from it.
Yeah,
you
and you're not doing it in a way to fucking hurt anyone.
No.
Like, no. Like, you're doing it more, excuse me, in a way to, like, get your way, kind of like a child, yeah. You know, like a child, like children are emotionally manipulative, but they're not going to fucking threaten to kill themselves or like do some bullshit like that.
Yeah.
Like it's more like, okay. And usually people can spot it as a partner. Like if like I was mean, like whatever, like Corey's like, okay, like stop. You're being fucking childish. I'm like, okay.
It's literally like, yeah, like a child. Like when Stephanie was on here, it's honestly like a child. It's like you want any sort of attention. Like, you want to get your point across and, you know, but it would never get to, it would never be to the extent of like.
Yeah. And like, I think the fact that we can sit here and admit that we can be that just shows that it's different from somebody actually being emotionally abusive.
Yeah.
Versus manipulative.
So do you think that Zendaya's character in the movie is emotionally abusive at all? I think we should pick out her.
I wouldn't say abusive. I would say definitely a little bit manipulative.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure.
But I would say it seems like there's a line in the movie where she says, like, we're in a fight. And I would say probably one of the worst fights that we have ever been in. So it's definitely not the first time they got into it like this. And it sounds like it's,
definitely not.
It's something that's been building.
Yeah.
So I think once it's like that and the gloves are off and he had said the shit that he had fucking said at that point, which we will get into, stick around. Once it's like that, it's like, you know, gloves are off. Yeah. So,
Emma? Like, I think that's why I definitely related a lot to Zendaya, sadly.
I think a lot of women can.
Oh, yeah.
No, where it's just like,
at some point in your life, at least.
Yeah, when Randy and I have dated for years, and when we were younger, I think that's just kind of when I was at my most crazy. And it was more of like, it's more of like manipulation. You know, I would be more manipulative emotionally when we get into arguments and fights and... And, at, you know, 5 minutes later, we could be laughing and just, it's, it was so, it's toxic. It's toxic. And I think you have to, you need to either cut it off or if you really love this person, you need to do everything in your power.
As long as there's growth.
Mm-hmm. Anything to change it and to work through it together. If, you know, if you both want to. And
but it just means like that behavior has to be acknowledged. Like if someone can't even acknowledge that they're doing that.
Yeah.
That's where it could get blurry and you should probably dip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember always like, you know, I'm like, is this fucking normal? Like, this isn't right. Like, this is definitely something wrong with us, you know? Like, there's no way. And it's just, it's like, it's normal. It's normal to argue. It's normal to have these like debates, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing. Know, like, but there is there's no normal. And that's why movies like this are great.
Movies like this. That's why I love songs. So, like,
criticize all you want about them. But like, I think at the end of the day, it's just showing people that there are other sides to relationships. And it's literally the art of empathy, you know? Like you empathize with both characters and you see into these, you know, relationships in this like voyeuristic way where it's like, I've never been in a relationship like that. I've never had a fight like that.
I call it passion.
But.
Me too.
Yeah. See, I have like pretty kind of like, you know, mellow, boring relationships where it's all very mature.
And that's why I think it all stems to personality types.
It can be toxic though, for sure.
It's personality types. Like for you, like you may see that movie and you're like, what the fuck? That's crazy. I've never had a fucking fight like that. I could say I have.
I'm sure I will eventually one day, you know.
You're an Aries. I'm surprised you have never had a fight like that.
But if I ever date another Aries,
what's your Mars?
My Mars, I believe, is Cancer, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
which I'm still surprised, you know. Yeah. But I don't know. I think if you meet, like, the right person. Yeah. Because
but I think it's because my moon is in Capricorn. So I'm always just like.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's stay grounded here. Like, work comes first.
Yes.
Always. That's so always. True. That's always been the root of all of my relationship problems, too.
What's your moon and your man's moon?
My moon is in Virgo and my man's moon is in Gemini.
That Mercury.
Which I think we talked about it on the astrology. Yeah, so we're both ruled by Mercury. So it's very we're both, it's like the.
You like to communicate.
Trying to get your points across.
Communication and like intellect. And we both just think we're right. And it's just like very.
Yeah.
Like no. Non-stop. Stubborn.
Yeah.
And with me, it's my moon's in Cancer and my man's moon is in Aries. So it's just like the two babies, you know, just like
two people crying. Yeah.
Yes, two people crying. So it's like, you know, It's definitely relatable. Like, both characters, for sure.
Which I seen a tweet talk about Malcolm and Marie, that one of them was an Aquarius.
Oh. Ooh.
And
what was the other one?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
I need to look it up.
But hold on. Don't look it up. Don't look it up.
I think she's an Aquarius.
Wait.
I think she's an Aquarius moon.
Yes. Wait, Alexa.
She's
we've
an
had
Aquarius moon, I feel like.
You feel like? Maybe.
I think.
Okay, let's guess. Uh-huh. This is actually a really fun exercise that we've been trying lately.
Yes.
Okay. Guessing different characters in movies. Like, what is her sign? Maybe what is her moon? Okay, so Malcolm. Okay, he's egotistical. He's manipulative. Scorpio. Okay, no, I'm kidding.
All right, we're back. We ended up taking a break. And because I was looking for like a tweet of this astrologer at iJade with two A's and two E's on Twitter. And she said, I don't know where she got it from. She said it very confidently. So I thought it was like a fucking fact. But then I was like, how would she fucking know? Unless she had like some like inside knowledge to like the script and the characters, you know? But she said Marie is an Aquarius and Malcolm is an Aries. So do with that what you will.
I don't know if I agree with that. He doesn't come off like an Aries to me.
I don't know. I think he could. Like,
I mean, okay.
Just like.
A little bit.
Hot-headed. And
okay,
like,
you know what?
Just in it just to win. Just even
they
want to
be number one.
You.
Okay.
Number one.
Maybe I'm not the right person to ask.
If you ain't first, April's you're biased. Last.
Triggered.
April's an Aries.
Triggered.
So she's biased. Yeah. Marie is an Aquarius. I can maybe see it, but I think she would be a Virgo.
You know what? That does make sense to me now that I think about it, because he kind of says like, if you want it bad enough, you should have auditioned for it. You know, you have to work really hard at it. Blah,
without
blah, blah, blah.
Realizing he's being like an
and
asshole.
I do think that I kind of have those sort of personality traits.
That's hilarious.
Where I'm like, you got to work so hard at it, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And
you have to
want
it
so
bad
for that person, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
So that sometimes, and that is, Aries are kind of known for that. Like, without realizing, they can be hurtful. Like, they just want the best for you, but like, they're just
It
comes.
They don't care
place.
About the feelings. It's all about just like, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I think Aries
hurt
make
your feelings,
very
oh well.
Good motivational speakers and trainers and stuff like that.
Oh my god, all
and
the
leaders,
Aries,
you know?
Yeah. So Malcolm in a motivational speech, he would get me riled up as a partner.
Oh yeah,
and him just being like
not
the
anybody can
undeveloped
handle that.
Toxic version
the male Aries. Aries especially
but you know we won't get too much into astrology just because I know you guys aren't all about that.
We'll save that for another
but it is really fun to and it, like I think you learn a lot from trying to analyze these characters and what personality traits they have, and if you link them to the astrology signs it's really fun because it kind of gives you something to kind of like go off of, you know.
Definitely.
So we're actually done with the lyrics. Though it's just like the fucking pre-chorus, chorus again. So now we're about to hop into fucking Malcolm and Marie.
Yes. Okay, so first, I mean, do you guys just want to talk about the film in general?
I mean, I think we kind
of
did.
The beauty
about
of it.
All of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, I don't know if we did talk about this. I think we kind of talked about it before with the whole like black and white aspect. How it kind of... It forces you to like feel things more. It's kind of like the whole like sensory deprivation thing where like if
that's
you're
true.
Not really seeing colors, it makes you really feel the feelings and like the tension of it all without being distracted by the beauty
so
of
true.
It.
So true. So true.
You know,
because I didn't really pay attention to like even the production design and stuff. But if you're a production designer, I know Alexa mentioned earlier, I think, you know, when we weren't recording.
Yeah,
the
production design
she noticed
was
it, but it's like
immaculate. You know. It was just so simple, like mid-century modern type of, you know, feel, and it didn't interfere at all with like the intensity of the film. So it flowed so nicely, and
it was such a good location, right? Like the house
was
really
like,
nice.
It was like a glass house.
Oh my god!
So
it's
just
it's
so symbolic of just like
for
looking into a relationship where like they are in the spotlight.
It's
where
a perfect voyeuristic
like fishbowl
sort of,
you know,
house.
There's like certain scenes where it's like you see, because it's like a glass house and it's all windows, you see him like over here, and then you see her inside of the house and like him out there trying to get his shit together. Like, what am I gonna say? And
that
then like her inside,
scene,
like hurting. Like, whoa.
Yeah, no, I really do think they did an A+ job on the locations.
Oh my god.
Because also like with the framing, like, you know, in the beginning you sort of see these characters isolated in like different rooms. Like Marie would be in the kitchen and she's like framed by the window and she's sort of like in her own little world. And then like, you know, you kind of, they would kind of do camera movement over to kind of like a sweep over to Malcolm. And he would be like in the window and sort of framed alone. And then, so spoiler alert, at the very end of the film, they're framed in the same shot through the master bedroom of these like really beautiful windows. And it's kind of like this wide shot and they're far away in this sort of like perfect frame. And I think that's really, really great.
It was like, locations. Now we're stuck on the inside left with all their bullshit. Like, what the fuck? Looking and now out. They're back on the outside. Like, it's all good.
Yeah.
And it's like at the end that where like cycle. He wakes up and like she's not in the bed. And he's like, Marie, Marie. Yeah. And he's like, where are you? And like she was just right outside the whole time. So like we're thinking as the audience, like, oh my gosh, she fucking finally left. But she didn't. Mm-mm. She's out there. They're fine. They're going to keep going through this bullshit. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's just that vicious cycle, you know.
And you sort of mentioned it kind of reminds you of the movie By the Sea. The Angelina Jolie film,
which
with
I
her
never
and Brad Pitt.
Saw, so that was just
it's
me.
So I did, yeah,
making an observation,
and it is very similar. Mm-hmm. I don't think that one was black and white. I don't think.
No, it wasn't.
But it's about voyeurism and just sort of looking in to this relationship, this broken, especially like a relationship like Brad Pitt and Angelina, who are such iconic, you know, celebrities,
famous as fuck,
beautiful people, you know, the most beautiful couple in Hollywood, and seeing them in this broken state and then them seeing into another apartment, you know, next to them that are like passionately in love, you know, so it's kind of like the grass is always greener sort of thing.
Yeah.
And definitely. So even like a couple like Malcolm and Marie, who on the outside you would think are the most perfect couple, like if you see them on the tabloids or, you know, anywhere like that, you would think that you'd be jealous of them. Like, I want to be
like
her.
Awesome.
I want to be him.
Like a director and an actress. Mm-hmm. And like, they just are so beautiful
together.
Who
wouldn't be envious of that couple?
And they're just famous. Like,
but look,
that's
at,
amazing.
Look at the things that they have to go through.
Nobody's perfect.
No.
Literally, grass is always greener. Oh. And it's just like such a representation of like social media, especially where like a couple can seem like they're just so great online and where people only post like the highlights of their life, but you have no idea what's going on when they get back home.
That shit is like
and for real, like I think even in the beginning of the film, all he can talk about is how great he was, how great his film looked, how great it impacted people, and how beautiful Marie looked the whole night, and how sexy she is, and how beautiful, you know. So it's all about looks.
Like
it's all about.
He forgot to thank her in his speech, but he won't
comes
remember
home
to be like, "You're so sexy, baby."
But he comes
like,
home
she's
and
just
he's
like the trophy wife, basically.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, that's another
didn't
thing.
Acknowledge her for her contribution, for her emotionally supporting him.
Yeah.
Like doing all the, she specifically says at one point, like, you have never thanked me for doing all the little things that you don't want to think about doing, like
picking out
your
suit,
making you coffee and breakfast in the morning, like
making you mac and cheese
like
after
that.
The premiere.
All of that.
Even though I hate you right now.
So
you know.
Do you guys think that maybe he didn't want to share the spotlight with her like she mentioned?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, you didn't want to thank me because you would have had to share that moment with me.
Yeah, because then.
You know?
For sure.
If he would have given a like true, genuine thank you. He would have been like, you know, like, thank you for inspiring me and the script and for like helping me give life to the script.
Of course.
Which is one of her big things, because she's like, you know, at the end of the day, I gave life to it. It's your perspective, but it was based on me and like me being
but
me
it's
and
not
you being with
his
me.
Perspective.
I gave life to it.
That's the thing. He's literally just taking like her soul. He's taking her perspective and making it. Disguising it as his own,
which is the most
because,
fucked up thing he
because
said.
He's okay, hold on, I have a theory, and it's not even a theory, I think it's pretty obvious, but because he's like always fixating on that whole mediocre comment, he's so egotistical, but he's so insecure about being a mediocre person, and I think most filmmakers can kind of relate to that. No filmmaker wants to be mediocre, they want to be great, you know, and so he's just too afraid to be mediocre, and his life experiences don't allow him to make great art, but by him surrounding himself with these broken people, because it seems to be a pattern. He keeps dating broken women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He wants that to be.
So I think we should start with the beginning from it, because like it kind of chronologically.
Let's break it down.
It does go into it.
Yeah. Okay. So you kind of have to know the beginning
exactly.
a little bit.
So obviously, first thing was she's upset. He forgot to thank her in his little premiere speech, you know. But people ended up coming up to her after, like his mom and the main actress, like. Oh, like, you know, don't read too much into it. Like, it's not that deep, you know, it's okay. Like
the actress that was, you know, that played, was cast instead of Zendaya's character.
Yes. Marie. So she played the character that the character was based off of. Mm-hmm. So it's already like, you know, feelings there, which get brought up later. But just for like, if something happens, like where like your man like disses you in a way and you feel a way about it, but you're like, you know what? This is their night. I'm not going to fucking bring it up now. But then people come up and like, mention it to you, that's gonna rub it in, and that's gonna let you know that they know, so you're not fucking crazy for feeling away. If somebody comes up to you and they're like, don't feel bad, like it's not like, you know, like don't read too much into it, that means they noticed and they're coming up to you to say that because they feel bad. So let's not fucking gaslight the situation or her or the person who's feeling these things. If other people noticed, then you're not wrong. So then she brings up what she says is, you know, you are not the jealous type at all. I could be hanging on a dude's arm all night and you would come up and just be like, all right, babe, like, let's go. Like, let's whatever. Yeah. And she says, which what stuck with me was, because he's like, many people would say that jealousy or not or lack of being jealous is a good trait.
Oh.
And she says, not when it borders on indifference.
Yes. Oh my God, I think
That hit. Oof. That hit. Because I think everyone can agree that having a partner who's overly jealous or like when it stems from insecurity for no reason, that's bullshit. You know, if it stems from like maybe you lied or cheated, then that's warranted and you better get ready to deal with that. But when you're like acting like you don't give a fuck about shit.
Yeah. Okay.
Indifference.
Here's a quote from the movie, something along the lines of, Marie says, your lack of curiosity is merely an extension of your narcissism.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty good.
That's what you were trying to say.
Because it's in reference to him not being jealous and him not caring to ask himself, has Marie ever had a better boyfriend than me? Has she ever dated anybody that's better than me?
Yes.
Is he more talented than me? She tells him, and I know this is way down the line, but it's just, you know, she tells him like, you don't care because you're such a narcissist because you think that you are the best version of yourself.
So we'll get to that. Yeah. We'll keep it chronological for y'all.
Dude, that fucking line. You are the neediest man, but the least jealous that I have ever met. Like,
yeah.
So that's where it starts to get like it's they very, get into it because she's like, you're so needy, but you're not. Jealous, narcissist. You don't care.
He doesn't give. He wants and takes, but he doesn't give a fuck about anything else. He doesn't give a fuck about.
He's not paying attention to anything else. Mm-hmm. Like he's just thriving it's in all the spotlight. Me. Yeah, happy to have a good-looking woman on his arm, like the trophy girlfriend to make him look good. All that. So that's when like something gets brought up, where she says, where she talks about how she gave up her acting career. So just because she didn't really have any the capacity to do that, being there for him, like while he's making this film, she's there to emotionally support him, like cause he's so like fucking balls deep in this shit that like she kind of had no choice but to take on the emotional support girlfriend, like do all this for him, and being that it was a project that they started together and like, you know, ideas were being bounced off. At a point, she mentions how she read, like, all these drafts for him, gave him notes. And he kind of ended up taking that for granted. And like, he makes the comment, like, oh, so now you're blaming me because you were too scared to, like, pursue your acting career or audition. You're blaming me because you took on the role of an emotional support dog. I was like,
first of all, never call your woman a dog.
Bitch, you about to get fucking stabbed in the dick. Like what? That was so. That was a low blow.
Cruel.
And that's him. Fucking called for.
That's him in this movie. Just low blows. Yeah. Low blows. Oh, yeah. So that's when it starts to like kind of like go south, where you're like maybe because okay, so he's like, what's wrong? I could tell something's wrong, and she's like, no, nothing. Like I know this is not going to be a productive conversation now, so no, let's not talk about it now. And he's like, why not? She's like, because I know how you are. You don't know how to de-escalate situations unless it's work. And even then it's 50-50.
So she's saying, like, you're not good at, like, having a productive a discussion. It turns into an argument where you want to win, and this is not going to be productive, especially being that she's an ex-addict. She's not drinking. Mm-hmm. He is. He's pouring up a new drink in, like, every fucking scene almost.
Yeah.
So he's getting drunker and drunker.
Yeah.
And I think you know drunk people, an argument like that is not going to go nowhere. The next day, they don't even remember the fucking half of it.
That's that brings up a really good point. I think that Malcolm is consuming the entire movie almost.
Yeah.
He's consuming alcohol. He's consuming mac and cheese. And he's the type of person that's constantly trying to take from her energy.
Yep.
You know, and like where she's trying to give.
Yeah.
Which is the perfect director actor dynamic. That's what that is.
She ends up feeling used. Like she's just there for him to draw inspiration from and to get his basic needs met and all that. So that's when it goes south. I think at that point he goes outside.
I don't know. They take a little break.
Where she goes in the shower. Like when did she get in the tub? Was it right after that?
After one of their fights.
The mac and cheese.
One of their many fights.
She goes in the tub. After the whole mac and cheese argument, she goes into the tub, and that's when he comes after her. That's when he's saying all that stuff, and then he goes outside. And then after he goes outside, she comes out to share that cigarette.
Right. So, the first 30 minutes are pretty much just this, back and forth battle of them just yelling and making up, and
then I think the tub scene is where it gets really fucked up, because he ends up bringing up her self-harm. Mm-hmm. Where she tried to kill herself with some nail clipper scissors or whatever. And he brings that up and makes her feel like shit. Or they're in the bedroom. See, this whole movie is all over the place. It's crazy fight in different rooms, like the bathtub, the bedroom. But basically it just shows you that he takes it too far. Mm-hmm. And she brings that up and she knows that. And that's why she didn't want to get into it. And then it just shows his personality is that he just wants to win. He just wants to win. He doesn't care if he's doing low blows. You're right. So then he says all those low blows about I was there for you all these times when you were an addict and I met you at your lowest point and then you tried to kill yourself or overdosed or all this bullshit. And then now we're fucking here where you are trying to fucking say that I'm not the one that's appreciative or knows what's going on, but really you're the fucking one. So then she's upset, sitting there quiet. He goes outside to blow off fucking steam. And then she's like, you know what? Fuck that. You want to do low blows? And she comes back and kind of insults him and is like, you're jacking my fucking life for your script. You don't appreciate me. And that's where you got me fucked up. And he tries to play victim. And he's like, that's fucked up. She's like, fuck you. You brought up me trying to fucking kill myself. And that is just the epitome of a fucking narcissist or somebody that's that fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, she did that because he started it. And then he wants to be that's mean.
Yeah. Huh? Because, there's passion and then there's just plain cruelty. And I don't think, if you love somebody that you should ever be that despicable of cruel. A person to purposely try to hurt someone else's feelings and tap into their biggest insecurities.
Yeah, there's and rude, and then there's
that's what's going on cruel. The entire film, and it's just it was disgusting. Like I was just like, ugh.
It's crazy. It really makes you realize the level.
Yeah, and obviously she fights back, but I do think that he starts, and you could tell that he is a manipulator in the duo.
Just turns into a gloves off fight where they're just
I know. Bloody. Yeah. I know that you mentioned it's kind of like this kind of boxing match.
This entire movie is a boxing match.
One arguing. Without fucking
ding, ding, ding. Round one. Yeah.
With one of those little people that are regulating it.
Referee.
The referee people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a boxing match without that though.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Because the part in the tub where he fucking says all this fucked up shit and he's like, you think this movie's about you? It's not. I don't have experience other than
Kiki,
you?
Tasha, all these.
Oh my God. He brings up all the ex-girlfriends, all these intimate moments. And it's you thought that was about you? Nope. That was about my ex-girlfriend. And unnecessary.
I would have gone the fuck up out of that tub and been fuck you, I'm out. Like,
no. But also, no. I do think that you're at a more vulnerable place if you're in a tub.
Duh, yeah.
So it's like you're submerged in water. You're trying to be at peace. And someone comes in and attacks you.
Yeah. Like, and he I even says, he's like, you want to go there? I'll break you like a twig.
That shows like the power dynamic, the fact that he's like standing above her. She's submerged in water naked. Underneath him. Like, that's kind of how you show the power dynamics in like, scenes. So like the fact that she's not only underneath him, but she's submerged in water.
Yeah.
She's drowning. Like, she's suffering. Yeah. And he's up here.
He literally says, he's like, you want to play that game? You think you can hurt me? I will hurt you like 10 times worse. He was like,
yes. Let's go. Let's fucking go. You want to do this? Let's go.
He tells her that she's fragile.
Yeah.
I will snap you like a twig or whatever.
Yeah. So at that point, it's not like a discussion, like where it's like you're trying to find mutual ground.
That's abuse.
That's emotional abuse. And that's just him trying to win and hurt her on purpose. Mm-hmm. That's not healthy.
Which I think that men have the power to be that kind of abusing type, because they have the power to hurt women just by being men.
Yeah.
You know, so they already have that power dynamic. And I do think that plays into the movie, the power dynamic between a man and a woman, of course, and just like that unfair balance.
Imagine if she were to walk out that fucking tub butt ass naked, all hot and just like.
Yeah.
He'd be like, what are you doing? Yeah. I'd be like, goodbye, nothing. Like, can you imagine?
Yeah. But then critics would be saying, well, why did Zendaya have to be naked?
Of course.
Which is actually a conversation in the movie about another movie.
Yes.
Like, why did that actress have to be, I think she had shown her boobs or something, right?
Why did she have to be naked?
Yeah. So it's just like, you know.
The whole male game.
So crazy.
Yeah, the whole male game. Yeah. Topic. Like, him bringing up like his girlfriends was unnecessary. And it gets to another point in the movie where she says, like, you know, you could have won this argument with only 20% of what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, most of it was unnecessary.
Oh, yeah.
Like, maybe if I was like doing too much and I was like being too emotional, you could have easily won that without having to specifically bring up shit with your ex-girlfriends.
She wasn't even saying anything back.
She wasn't. And he walks out and she's like on the verge of tears. He walks out and like, you think it's over? No, he paces back and forth. He comes back and keeps going.
Then he says, do you want me to keep going? And she's like, keep going. Yeah. And that's when he goes on to tell her that you love this shit. You know?
Yeah, no. So,
yeah. So that goes on for a bit. And then it just keeps on going. Like you said, it's a boxing match. I think the pacing is crazy.
The pacing.
I've never seen a film.
Calls her crazy over and over. Like from the beginning. Before.
I mean, at least not in my recent years. Where a film just goes up and down. There is no clear pacing. It's like there's no clear climax.
It's literally just up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down
the entire movie. And then just sort of.
Like, you think it's, like, about to, like, all right, they're about to, reconcile. Like, they're about to fuck. And then he's like, let me go pee real quick.
Yeah.
And while he goes pee, like, you could see her face changing. Like, this is where her acting skills just, like,
she's
came.
Amazing. She's so
she's
good.
She's laying there. She's, like, all, like, And then you could see within seconds, like, she starts thinking too much. And then a tear just, like, rolls out of her eye.
That's why Zendaya is so fucking good. Ooh. She doesn't have to say much. And she could say 20% of what she said in the movie. And she still steals the movie.
Yeah, it was great.
You know?
Yeah. And the use of music, first of all, the soundtrack is amazing.
Oh, so good.
And then there's a part where they're fighting. Jazz. He goes outside to smoke a cigarette. She goes outside to share with him. Mm-hmm. And instead of saying anything, and it's after a part, I think it's after the tub scene, mm-hmm. where he said all that fucked up shit, started bringing up his ex-girlfriends and being like, you know, you weren't the sole inspiration, like, blah, blah, blah. She plays a song. It's like an oldies song. I don't even know where it's basically.
Get rid of him.
No. And like they're singing about like, leave that man. Like, he doesn't treat you good, whatever. And she doesn't say anything. She just plays a song and you could just see him just start to like shrivel up.
I love it.
It's so amazing.
That's why I love movies, because it's like the perfect integration of visuals and music and sound. And like, especially for this kind of, you know, podcast, it's such a perfect movie to bring into your podcast. It kind of ties in the music and the visuals.
Yeah. Because obviously the music plays a big role.
It plays a huge role.
Yeah.
I mean, the music tells you what the movie's about, specifically in this movie. It's not just mood or reference. It's specifically dialogue that tells you what the movie's about. Like, I think at the very end, which get into it, but we already mentioned the theme. Yeah. The last song that you hear at the credits tells you the theme.
Yeah. There's a few parts where, like, instead of words, it's just like a song plays, and it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And sometimes so there's you just a part, can't say it better than music.
I think, like, the biggest, like, a climax of, like, their fight is where she's like, you know, you wrote this movie about me, basically. Like, why didn't you cast me? And that's just, like, the whole dynamic I of, guess like, that a would artist, be the climax, producer, yeah. director, whatever kind of relationship. And she's like, and please tell me without, like, making me feel like shit. And instead of not making her feel like shit, like, he goes on to be a fucking dick, and he's like, you're just jealous. So that's what this whole fucking thing is about. Like, I fucking knew it. You're just fucking jealous. Like, don't ever let somebody try to tell you that you're just fucking jealous. That's fucking rude. And that's using your insecurities against you. And that is emotionally abusive / manipulative. That's fucked up, especially if you have, like, a reason.
Oh, yeah. That or crazy.
Yeah, jealous or crazy or insecure.
You're never crazy.
Yeah, no. Jealous, crazy, or insecure. If, like, a man ever tries to use that against you, that's fucked up, because that is something that you had to be vulnerable to, like, admit to at a point. And if they're trying to use that against you, that's where it's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, if they use your insecurities against you.
It must be, like, an attack mechanism or whatever. Like,
yeah, no, she was being vulnerable, telling him, I really just feel, like, stripped of, like, my soul at this point.
I just think men sometimes don't know how to react to such vulnerable emotions that they instantly just go towards, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You're psycho. You don't know what you're talking about. Blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah. And then I think one of the other, like, biggest things that I wanted to talk about was, like, the whole thing where she tells him, like, I don't think you have ever. Well, first she says, you know, me as, like, your partner, I wake up every day thinking, like, I want to be the best girlfriend you have ever had. I want to be the best version of me for you. I always wonder, like, has he ever had a girlfriend that's better than me? Blah, blah, blah. And that's, and, like, the reason she brings that up is because, you know, when you brought up your ex-girlfriend saying all that trashy shit, you thought that was going to hurt me. No, I just think you're trash. And it makes me realize I'm overthinking. All the times I'm thinking, like, oh, am I the best he's ever had? Now I realize, like, you're fucking gross. Who cares? Like, you're fucking gross. All the shit you said to try to hurt me, like, fuck you. I don't think you've ever had a single thought, like, where you wake up and you're like, I want to be the best version of me for her. And that's where she just feels completely like, fuck you. And I would have hoped that would have been a wake up call for her to leave, but she stays at the end.
Yeah.
But that was a pivotal point in like all of it for me, where I was like, damn.
Yeah, because she straight up tells him, like, you think that you're the best version, the person you are right now, right here, who's yelling at me, trying to make me feel small. That's the best version of you?
And the worst version of you.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
But it's like the fact that he's not trying to be better and that he's oblivious to his own actions. And
instead of having a productive conversation, you're just trying to fucking hurt me and belittle me.
Yeah, that's literally. That's
what that's how you think of me.
Trying to do the entire time.
That's how you're treating this relationship. It's not like us trying to find a solution. It's you versus me, and you're trying to fucking knock me out with your fucking mean ass shit you're saying. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's what happens when you have one analytical person versus a reactive person who's just.
Yeah. And I think it's perfectly just like showing the whole thing where they talk about it's like a fine line between love and hate.
Yeah.
And like it ends with like a song by Outkast and CeeLo
called
Liberation.
Oh, okay.
And it's, that's the one where it's talking about like fine line between love and hate.
Yeah.
Like, oof.
So what do you guys think about that?
It's true. I think it's a fine line between a lot of like those like opposing emotions, like that love and hate. I can't even think of anything on the spot.
So
do you think
that like if you've ever felt such like strong hateful emotions towards your partner, that means that you also probably love them the most?
I think so, and it's kind of toxic. But there's like that whole thing where like you can only love someone. Hate someone as much as you love them. Or even the whole thing where like it's like a joke, it's like a running joke where people are like, if a girl tells you she hates you, like jokingly, it's because she fucking loves you. Like if a girl's flirting with you and she's like, I fucking hate you.
Well, that sure, but I mean like real hate and real love,
because like I don't think you could really hate someone unless you like really loved them.
Okay And going back to Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, I think they had a pretty like similar relationship to the kind of relationship that they had on screen in By the Sea and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Because in Mr. and Mrs. Smith, like, they're literally trying to kill each other the whole time.
Oh, that's so true. You know?
And then in By the Sea, they're, like, totally broken and depressed and falling apart. But then they see this other couple and they're, like, you know, like, infatuated by seeing this, you know, couple that's so in love. It's strange, but I don't know.
Yeah. Random side note. I heard, like, Donald Glover and then, like, the creator, writer of Fleabag are doing, like, a Mr. Mason Smith spinoff. I'm excited for that. I love both of them.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I guess I've never hated anybody, like, a partner like that. I've never had such a...
Because you never loved them like that.
I don't know.
I don't know. That's just my opinion.
That's a reflection of myself.
Probably. So
different. I know there's that song at the end, right? Where like a thin line between love and hate, right?
Yeah.
So a fine line between love and hate. And I actually have it in my notes somewhere, but do you think that sometimes in relationships, toxic relationships, people keep tallies of like, you know, it's just like built up resentment. Like, it's just like, well, everything comes out to the surface when you're angry at each other. Do you guys believe that?
I think definitely. Yeah. Like, right? I don't know if it's like a one-upping of like, well, you did this, so I did this. Or like, well, I did this, so I'm going to make sure next time you do something, I'm going to hold it against you.
And that's like a lack of communication.
Yeah.
And I feel like usually with men, it's harder for them to, they don't really know how to express their emotions. And as women, we're very fucking we're emotional beings. That's what we do. What's like, and they don't speak that language most of the time.
Which I think I have trouble with that, but I think maybe better than most men.
Yeah.
Still?
Oh, yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Definitely. Because I think we're like, instead of like, taking accountability for it and like making up for it and like trying to be a better person.
Yeah.
Instead, they're like, let me fucking catch you fucking up so I can hold it against you too. Cause then it'll like minimize my thing that I did wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of trying to be better. See, it's April, like trying to like balance it.
Yeah.
It's like a boxing match. Like you said, instead of like, let's step out of the ring
and let's fucking talk and fix about it. This,
it's like, oh, well, you want to go.
It's kind of like also like when you're playing video games, like for example, like Kingdom Hearts, because that's one of the only video games I play. When you're going through your items and your potions and you're like, what do I have in my pocket? Let me throw out this elixir and this ether or whatever.
Whatever
you always want to have something in your pocket to throw out to combat what they're about to throw at you.
Yeah, it's a defense mechanism. And sometimes people can have toxic defense.
You got to save that shit. You can't always confront it right away because, you know, you got to save that in your pocket for the next fight, right? That's toxic, though.
It's toxic. That's the thing. It's like, I know that April is definitely like the chill. You're very fucking chill. But I know that we've had conversations where, you know, you can relate to a lot of things that we do. You just react differently.
Right.
You choose not. So true. You don't give that power. Exactly.
Yeah. The reaction. That's what's important usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That's so true.
It's the reaction.
Which is weird because I am an Aries, but I don't react like an Aries.
Your Capricorn moon.
It's because of Capricorn moon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So I have a sweet. The handle is @notshebejammin. And then it says Gorilla Glue Grip. I'm dead. She said, I used to be that girl. I thought, if they know I've been hurt, they'll try not to hurt me. Nope. Men will use that to do the bare minimum and or throw it in your face when they gaslighting you. Set the standard and let that man meet it. No explanation, no mercy. Mm. Yep. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, where like you get into a relationship or you start talking and then you want to open up and be like, you know, I just got out of this relationship where like they cheated on me or like they used to do this to me and hurt me. So, you know, like, please don't do that to me. Like, I'm like, you know, I'm traumatized from that shit. And you would think like that disclaimer, just because you're empathetic and if they told you that, you would go out of your way to step around, like, you know, be careful around their feelings, that they would do the same for you. Never fucking a guarantee. No. Sometimes men will use that to manipulate you because they know where your weak spots are. They're like, oh, so she insecure. Oof. And I've seen fucked up tweets where dudes are like, so oh, like, get you a girl that's been cheated on because she thinks she's a 3 instead of a 10 because
are you
she's
kidding?
Insecure. And of course, it's all jokes, but all is jokes
that's
contain.
That's how you really feel. That's all like 50%
jokes contain truth. True shit. Yeah. Even if it's 10%. Because who's the liking fact that? Your mind went
who's
there.
Who's liking that? Who's laughing
fucked
at
up.
That?
Yeah.
Who's like, replying to that?
And like, I get it. It's funny, but like, why? Like, that's fucked
but
up.
See, jokes like nothing. That in the back. That's why in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, it's funny, but it's like,
it's not.
It's fucking noted.
Like, let me fucking find my man laughing at some shit like that.
Yeah.
Just seriously, because you're laughing doesn't mean it's funny. It could be uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable laughing.
It could be like sad.
That's mean. You know? That's just really mean. So I don't know.
Dude, this
so
makes
that
me
just it reminds me of Malcolm and Marie because like he met her at her lowest point in her life when she was like,
right.
Like, she overdosed. She was like a drug addict. He was going like to meetings with her.
And she was
like,
in her 20s.
Yeah, she
and
was
he's obviously older.
In real life, I think he's like almost 10 years older.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it was like the same thing.
Definitely. Like, I mean, that's Hollywood too.
Yeah.
So.
And like that whole, that's a, save that conversation for a whole nother motherfucking episode.
Oh my God, please.
About the power dynamic of age play.
Oh my God. That's your next episode.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. But yeah, you would think that he's like, well, I met you like that. No, when she's in the tub naked and he wants to hurt her, what does he bring up? All that shit is fucked up.
Yeah.
So be careful for people like that.
Of course.
That would seriously use that shit to hurt you. Anger is not an excuse for somebody to bring up your own pain and insecurities against you.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Preach.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Damn.
That was a good conversation. I feel like after watching Malcolm and Marie, it's like a much needed, you have to talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, it's cathartic, even though you may agree with some of the stuff. You might be totally disgusted by some of it. But I think it was great. I think I'm very happy that Sam Levinson made the film and he has his opinions on it. And
it's definitely
whatever,
like one of those one and done. Like you watch it one time and I'll never watch it again.
Absolutely. And
exhausting.
I encourage everyone to watch everyone in a relationship, not a relationship. Just
maybe not with your partner.
Not with your partner.
Maybe watch
for
it separately and then maybe talk about it after. I think maybe it's more cathartic and healthy to talk about it in a, like a third person versus like your own personal issues.
Yeah.
Because then you can see where it stands.
Yeah because you're either going to agree with one or the other. And so it's cool to kind of see like which one do you relate to.
Absolutely. You can have a peaceful debate, as I like to call it.
Okay, we love a peaceful debate.
Yes.
Even after dark.
Yeah, like, fuck toxic shit. Like,
yeah.
Don't let yourself get manipulated.
It's hard to, like, you know, tether that line of, like, passion and love and hate and toxicity and, like, healthy or unhealthy or emotional manipulation versus abuse versus just, like, undeveloped, you know, things that you need to deal with. So
acknowledge it. Acknowledge your emotions.
Yeah.
In all things. Yeah. Everything will fall into place.
At the end of the day, if you think someone's over-exaggerating with your emotions, that is your own personal opinion. It doesn't mean that their emotions aren't valid.
Absolutely.
So don't tell someone that they're crazy or they're overreacting. Like, hear them out. And if that is something that's constantly happening, that needs to be a separate conversation outside of when these emotions are live.
Yeah.
Like, wait till after. That's a separate
everything
conversation.
Is.
Okay.
Yes.
100%.
So thank you, ladies, so much for coming and hanging out with me today.
Always.
Getting drunk with me.
Thanks. This is our first Nightshade episode.
Yes.
My first time being on here, by the way.
Yeah. Alexa was on the astrology episode. So if you guys do want to like learn like a basic outline of astrology, and it's like an hour long episode, so like you will learn a lot of good stuff. It was the one of the last couple episodes of season 2.
Astrology
hoes. That's us. Yeah, go follow Nightshade Collective on Instagram.
Yes.
Go follow Simp and After Dark. You can follow me at Ash_Friday_.
You can follow me at April Directs on Instagram and follow Wild 7 Studios on Instagram. Check out Debbie and the Devil on Instagram and Debbie and Devil website. We just dropped a trailer, our official trailer for our first feature film. This is the first feature that I produced. The girls were the production designers on this film. We're so proud of it. It's been 3 years plus in the making. So we just dropped the trailer. Check it out. It's on YouTube. It's in the link in the Wild 7 Studios and Debbie and the Devil bio, so go check that out.
Yes. Oh, you can follow me at Alexa Janelle on Instagram. Can we cheers? Because Ashley totally fucking ignored me earlier.
I'm not even drinking, but I will cheers to you anyway.
To the crazies.
Yes.
Till next time, you guys.
Bye.
I need another drink.
I think we're out.